Hello and welcome to episode 86 of the Dragons Are Real podcast. My name is Pete Jones. So ZineQuest has drawn to a close for another year with no more new content. But at the time of this recording, there were still 113 zines ongoing. I've backed 22 and I think that's going to be it. I'm a bit skint now. And I'm pleased to say that three of them have actually delivered. That is Swordpoint, Grimblade and Bestitchery. So well done those guys. As usual, I've been playing a bit of games, a couple I want to mention. At the weekend, I had a game of Forget About It for Wise Guys, run by Eric Lamoureux, the author. And we had a great game of Gangsters set in the 90s. There was four other great players, and we had an absolute blast with the game. Very roleplay heavy. The other guys, as all being GMs, were really into it, and we had a ton of fun, and only one of the characters survived. Two were killed in a shootout at the end, and the other two, well, let's just say Conrad executed my character, but not before I had poisoned him, so it was a ton of fun. So thanks, Eric, for running that one. And it's the first time I've played Savage Worlds in a long time. Still playing two games of 5e on a weekly basis. The first one is run by Colin Sinclair, one of my face-to-face group. We're being run through the Giants module, which is now Tales from the Yawning Portal. That is brutal. That is a slugfest. I think we're level 9 now. I'm playing a halfling wizard. But yeah, 5e works for that. And Colin's gone out and bought himself a license of Foundry. He's been running it on my version at the moment. But from this Thursday, he's got his own version. Dead easy for us to just copy the whole world across to him. Zipped it up. He's installed it. We've got it working. So he's going to be running that. And finally, I'm running my Adventures in Middle-Earth game for my face-to-face group. That is pretty role-play heavy. Last week saw them in a Dallas Dream State, fighting hell trolls without armor and weapons. Oh, yes. Excellent fun. In other news, for Foundry, Ascalops has written a Powered by the Apocalypse system, which is still in alpha. And I've been playing around with that because I do love me some Powered by the Apocalypse. And I managed to write systems for Rovers and One-Shot World for the new Powered by the Apocalypse system. It's just a matter of doing some TOML files. Rovers, he's already put on the download page for the website. And I've got permission from Yoshai Gal, who wrote One-Shot World, to absolutely rip everything. So the system is up. And I'm just creating compendiums for both of those as well as their Creative Commons. And I've got permission. I can share the compendium so it'll get people up and running. One Shot World, for those that don't know, is a simplified dungeon world to allow you to play very short campaigns or one shots. Let's get on to some call-ins. So first up, we've got Colin Green.
Hi Pete, long time no speak. Owl Bear Rodeo, you put me onto it. I've been having a look, and as VTTs go, you're right, mate. It couldn't be simpler. It does everything I need it to do. And I noticed it's getting a bit of traction on YouTube. Mike Shea was spouting about it. WasD20, I think he's called, a reviewer guy, he's been on about it. And I think you must have pointed out to me about a year ago. So looks like you picked up on a good one. Anyway, cheers for that, mate. Hope you're well, and I'll catch you later.
And that was my old mucker, Colin Green, from the Spike Pit podcast. Colin's recently moved his podcast onto YouTube as well as audio, so check Colin out. He's got some great content there. Yeah, I noticed Albert Rodeo a long while ago, and I put Colin onto it because I thought it would be right up Colin's street. He doesn't like too much faff when it comes to online playing. And if you haven't checked out Albert Rodeo, it really is simple as uploading a map and uploading tokens. In fact, you don't even have to upload tokens because there are some pre-generated tokens already in there, but you can load tokens if you want. The maps, they have got some generic, five or six generic maps which you can draw on, but you can easily upload your own JPEGs or PNGs for some simple maps. And it's got an inbuilt dice roller. So if you just want something simple to move tokens around and roll some dice, then I can't recommend Albert Rodeo enough. So check that one out. And I've also done a video of that on YouTube as well. And it's nice for me to be ahead of the curve for once, isn't it? Next up is Jason Connolly.
Hey Pete, Jason here. Really enjoyed your Journeys episode. Yeah, more episodes like that, please. That was, you know, a lot of information packed in that episode. As far as zine quests, yeah, I think I'd have to recount them, but I think I backed like 28 zines. There might be one or two more coming, so I might hit 30 zines by the end of the month, which is way too many. And since I'm in the U.S., I've kind of opted for physical copies for the one, anything being printed out like DriveThruRPG or whatever, I kind of shied away from. But especially the ones that they're doing at home or they're doing special things for, because I'm not paying extra shipping like you guys are, I've opted for physical copies. So, yeah, I'm spending way too much money on this. But, like you say, if we're helping small creators, it's worth it. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. And that's Jason Connolly from the Nerds RPG Variety Cast. Check Jason out, another good podcaster. Yeah, that Journeys episode, it was something I felt I needed to do because I've been running Journeys in Middle Earth and I know it comes up occasionally on Reddit. So I've got a couple more ideas for non-review episodes as well. I might even tackle the dreaded chase rules, but wait and see. But this is not one of those episodes. Let's get on to the main subject, which is the reason you're all here in the first place. I'm a big fan of Star Trek, having been introduced to it way back in the early 70s when I was a kid, and I really enjoyed the original series. Wasn't a fan of anything that came after years later, but the original series and the original animated series I did love. And recently I found my love again of Star Trek with Discovery. I think Discovery is probably the closest you've gotten in any series that is similar in some respects to the original series. And in the RPG world, there's been several RPG products for Star Trek. Currently, there's the Modiphius Entertainment 2D20 Star Trek role-playing system, which has been out for about 4 years now. Prior to that, Decipher did a role-playing game in 2002, cunningly called Star Trek Role-Playing Game. 1998 was the Next Generation RPG by Unicorn Games, and they did two supplements. One allowed you to play Deep Space Nine, and another allowed you to play the original series. And before that was Prime Directive by Task Force Games in 1993. And everybody considers that the very first RPG in Star Trek was Star Trek the RPG by FASA, but it wasn't. Well, actually, it's Star Trek Adventure Gaming in the Final Frontier by Heritage Models, written by Michael Scott, and this was released in 1978. It is a 40-page rulebook, and the rules were originally developed by the author for their Space Patrol game, and he adapted it for Star Trek. It's set on unexplored planets with the United Federation of Planets Starfleet. Player characters are assumed to be members of Starfleet and engaged in those planetary exploration missions. And as such, each character holds a senior post on a starship bridge. And you visit alien planets as part of the landing parties. And this is set in the original TV series and also draws in from the animated series from 1973. Heritage Models, if you don't know, it was a miniatures figures company which started out with doing recasts of the Hinchcliffe War Games miniatures. They had their own lines and they had the first official IP for Conan the Barbarian and Lord of the Ring minis. And they also had four IP licenses they acquired for role-playing games, along with John Carter of Mars and of course Star Trek Adventure Gaming in the Final Frontier. It's believed that they've lost their license due to unpaid royalties and Heritage Models doesn't exist as a company now. So let's look into the mechanics. The game is split into a basic and advanced game. In the basic game, you have pre-generated characters from the TV series. And in the advanced game, you can create your own characters and it adds two new abilities, size and movement. It makes combat more crunchy and has more detailed psionics. There are no skills, only a learning roll or a luck roll. And you do this by rolling 3d6 and you're rolling equal or under either your mentality or your luck. It doesn't mention if you can roll under any of the other attributes. That is a grey area. Luck is used as a saving throw and if another ability applies, you have a modifier. Now what you're supposed to do is every time you need a modifier, you recalculate it on the fly. It is not baked into the character sheet. For each score above 12, you would get a plus 1, and for each score under 9, you would have a minus 1. So you have an 8 You'd have minus one to your roll. If you had four, you'd have minus five to your roll, and so on. It uses opposed rolls for combat using a d6, or in the advanced game, multiple d6. There are rules for equipment from the Stone Age to the future, such as communicators and scanners and that sort of thing. But there's no prices for weapons or shopping lists. Let's have a look at character creation. In the basic game, we've got the pre-built characters of Kirk, Spock, Bones, Scotty, Uhura, and all your favourite TV series. They've got fixed movement rate, and of course there's the simpler combat. When we get to the advanced games, you've got your six abilities, which you generate by using 3d6. The abilities are Strength, Dexterity, Luck, Mentality, Charisma, and Constitution. And your 3d6 rolls are also modified by your species. So for example, if you pick a Vulcan, you get plus 3 to your Strength, plus 3 to your Mentality, plus 4 to your Con, and plus 2 Dex. So you've got a range from 3 to 18, plus or minus any modifiers. And as I said before, each stat above 12 is plus 1, and each stat below 9 is minus 1. There are two further stats, Hand-to-Hand Initiation. Your species sets your size and your movement in the advanced game. There is a 1% chance of having a psionic power, unless you are a Vulcan or Talosian, where you automatically have them, and you roll for your psionic powers randomly. Combat differs from your ability rolls. It uses opposed roll for combat, with the defending subtracting their roll from the attacker's roll, and a positive number causes damage, which is subtracted from your constitution score. Ranged combat is a bit more complex and relies on the chart that cross-references your dexterity score. So let's have a look at a round of combat. Each player declares their intent, and in the base game, the highest dexterity rating goes first. In the advanced game, you roll a d6 and add your initiation score, and take your turn order from highest to lowest. You execute your action in turn order, and you make one action, which is either a full move or half a move and fight, or just fight. The advanced game adds more complexity to the move with adding time and movement. Let's have a look at hand-to-hand. So hand-to-hand, the attacker and defender both roll 1d6. In the advanced game, you roll multiple d6 depending on the damage type of the weapon. The attacker's roll is modified by your hand-to-hand class, your strength and dexterity plus or minus bonuses, and the defender's roll is modified by the hand-to-hand class and luck. And in the advanced game, the weapon may also give them a defense bonus. You subtract the defense roll from the attack roll, and a positive effect results in damage, which is subtracted from the defender's constitution. In the advanced game, armor absorbs some points of damage, so if you have armor of 9, any excess greater than 9 would be applied to the constitution, with the armor absorbing the first 9 points. And if you lose half of your remaining constitution, you're knocked out, and when you're down to 0, you are out of the for the count. Ranged combat is a bit more complicated. Again, it uses d6 with different modifiers, but there is a hit probability table that compares your dexterity score to your range to show the number. And you roll 1d6, and you're rolling that number up below for the table to hit. You look up the weapon damage at that range to see how many dice you roll, and you roll that many dice, and the target rolls their 1d6 as a defense, modified by their stats. Any damage that is applied to your con. If you're using a stun weapon, then you must damage half of their con to knock them out. And in advanced rules, there are a greater variety of weapons for you to choose from. Psionics. In the base game, they're treated simply, basically through a mentality roll, and they are given very little coverage apart from the likes of Vulcan, which has mind link. Basically, you roll 3d6 under your mentality, modified by the subject's mentality and charisma to succeed. In the advanced game, there are a number of psionic powers, which are empathy, telepathy, telekinesis, clairvoyance, precognition, mind control, and teleportation. When it comes to aliens, there are alien races and life forms from the series, which are given a short write-up, and in the advanced rules, you can play some of these alien life forms. Instead of these six abilities, NPC creatures have one ability called ability rating, and this is used for all modifiers in combat. And all your favourite alien species from the TV show and the animated series are here. There's also tables for generating your own new life forms, which can generate type, shape, weapon capabilities, and movement. So what are my thoughts on Star Trek adventure gaming in the Final Frontier? Well, there's no rules for experience or getting better. The characters you have are the characters that you have, and that is it. As one other podcaster pointed out, the height and size calculations are very strange, and you can have humans between like 2'9" and 9' tall. There is no balance between the species, but Back in the 70s, that's the way things were. The advanced rules for combat really do overcomplicate things, and I think if I was to play this, I'd probably use the basic rules, because I, as you know, I like simply written rules. The writing in places is very ambiguous, and this is definitely a product of its time. But if you think about it, this was only 4 years after Dungeons & Dragons was written, and look at the first edition of that. So I can forgive it for the poor writing style. Another thing that it doesn't mention anywhere throughout is there's no starship rules, and the game is purely focused on the landing parties, and if you want starship combat, then there's nothing in here to help you. As regards to supplements, well, there was no official supplements. However, there was an article in Different Worlds number 18 in the January 1982 issue, which was published by Chaosium. This is called Star Trek Beyond the Final Frontier by Paul Montgomery Crober. And this was 7 pages in length, and it had a number of tables in there, and it added things like experience, skills, aging, salaries, price lists, the referee's roles, chain of command, and world generation. Obviously, these products are long out of print. They're very hard to pick up in printed format, and they do go for quite a bit of money on eBay. If you do a bit of Google searching, you can find PDF versions of them around there, which have been created by fans, and this is what I use for this review. And if you look at the cover, it doesn't scream Star Trek at all. That's all for this episode. Once again, I thank you for listening. If you want any more details, remember to check out the website at petejones.neocities.org. The blog is dragonsareelpodcast.tumblr.com. If you want to get in contact with me, you can send me a voicemail by the Anchor app, or you can email me at dragonsareelpodcast@pm.me. I'll see you again next episode, and I'll catch you all on the flip side. Thank you.